100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lauren Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at one a day until the day I die.com. Today is Sunday, the weekly challenge. I post a topic and you come up with the stories, and you've come up with quite a few stories. How about we go ahead and listen to them? Who do we have stories from? Well, let's see. You've got Muncie, Jeffrey, Richard, Charlie, Tom, Lizzie, Serendipity, Tura, and Narval Joe. Then some guy named Planet Z. I should probably drink more coffee. Well, hopefully the visit from the sister-in-law is ending soon so I can get my walks in without interruption or fail. I reached 218.2 pounds last week at some point. And then, yeah. So, keep trying. Keep walking. Keep not eating fried food and other crap. And just make it through the day. A little Bailey's in the coffee is okay, right? Well, let's listen to some stories. That's what you're here for, not for me to ramble.
Greetings, Moondogs. From Munzee once more, here with a story about some words to live by. The words are to live by. I want to make it clear, not my story. My story is merely to listen to. Here we go! My Favorite Quote by Christopher Monroe. Ridicule is nothing to be scared of. It's embroidered on the lining of my suit jacket, and I try to live according to the line to the degree that I'm able. It's from an old Adam Ant song, and while the source isn't the most dignified to admit to, that doesn't worry me. I have, after all, learned the lesson of the song well. I live life free of fear of ridicule, as best I can, always and in all ways. A point, based on how ridiculous you've seen me so willingly make myself, with which I suspect you'll agree. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's me out, Moondogs. But first, I shall leave you with an important question. If there were dogs on the moon, what would they howl at?
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 487, on the topic of a favorite quote. And as usual, I can't decide, so I have two of them. My first story is called Exam Day. Tyler woke and realized this was the day of his big history exam. He was utterly unprepared. This will be a disaster, he thought. Sure enough, he couldn't begin to answer many of the questions. However, he was confident he had done enough to pass the course. When grades came out, Tyler received an F in the course, along with a note that reminded him he would be retaking the same course next year. He made an appointment to see his history teacher to beg for another chance. Miss Fitzgerald wouldn't budge. As we learned from Santayana, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. See you next year. Tyler consoled himself with the thought that perhaps he too could become a famous guitarist like Carlos Santayana. And my second story is called For the Gipper. Frank was on his third date with Caitlin. The two had really hit it off after a mutual friend introduced them. She was an older woman with a masculine physique, but Frank was no youngster, and the two could talk for hours on any topic. Dinner went well, and Frank felt bold enough to ask her to his place for a nightcap. To his delight, she accepted. As the couple waited for a cab, Frank placed a hand on her hip, then let the hand snake southward. Caitlin smiled. Right up to the moment, he grabbed her crotch and squeezed. "What was that for?" the woman angrily demanded. "You moved like a lady, but a guy can't be too certain these days. As Reagan said, trust, but verify." And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning. This is Richard. And this week I got a bit sidetracked, so I hope this makes the grade. My favourite quote. My favourite quote hangs framed on the wall above my desk. It's not what you'd expect. No motivational words, stirring imagery, or perceptive insights. In fact, to read it, you'll have to move a bit closer. That's when people get a little bemused. It's just an ordinary business document, they say. A quote for something or other. At that point, they usually get bored and don't bother reading the small print. Yes, it is just a quote. A quote for the sale of a web domain I owned. To Google. Alphabet.com. $100 million. And yes, they paid up. If only. I guess I'll just have to find another road to riches. So while I go off and do that, I'll leave you to all the other stories. Till next week. Goodbye.
Morning. This is Charlie S. Robot, Hazel. Three stories offered today. The pleasure is only momentary, and the position is ridiculous. My old pal, D, had this to say about sexual coupling. He is right. For the amount of psychic energy and cost of a dinner and a show, the output is far more than the input. The formula, PE plus D circumflex 2, S, equals OP proves my point. D is English, and don't he say much, but he might have said, there are a number of mechanical devices which increase sexual arousal, particularly in women. Chief among these is the new Mercedes-Benz 380 SL convertible. But this is attributed to PJ O'Rourke, not to my friend. Second, D came into the family room. His wife, Maureen, was drinking coffee and looking lovely. D looked uncomfortable and tugged at the fly front of his jeans. Damn hotel coval pants. No ballroom. The coval was a vintage, small hotel in the center of town and did not have room for a ballroom. This struck me such that I remember this quip to this day. His wife laughed so hard she spat out coffee. D, as always, had a slight smile on his face as he always did when he realized his impromptu, but clever joke, was a hit. Third. An abrupt beginning is much admired, after the fashion of the clown's entry through the chemist's window then whack at your reader at once, hit him over the head with the sausages, brisk him up with the poker, bundle him into the wheelbarrow, and so carry him away with you before he knows where you are. H.G. Wells gave this advice about writing an essay. Surely, it is filled with surreal imagery, but makes the point about a writing a strong essay or a tale you might find on these pages. I do like to hit all my readers with sausages.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And I've got updates. Okay, we got a mess of movement that occurred in the last 4 weeks. Story total, 7,900, closing in on 8,000. Story average, a solid 16.25. New monkeys in the top 100. Charlie's in the 74th place, and Jerry in the 75th place, both with double digits. With the brief return of Beauchamp, the top 20 authors are now golden. Hopefully, they will be joined by the 21st in a mere 14 weeks. Keep them coming, John. Lawrence, please to put Beauchamp's in the Golden Monkey list. Anima is a mere 9 stories from passing TJ. Lizzie finally enters the clan of the Iron Monkeys, and so does Tura. We have 14 Iron Monkeys. In the Iron, Richard passed both Cliff and TJ with 117 stories in a row. Planet Z goes triple iron, and your humble scribe passes into quad iron with 2 runs of 407 stories. Phil, our reigning Iron Monkey, continues forward 358 stories in a row. In the top 10, Tura is now double gold, which means an author needs over 200 stories to join that august assembly. Jeffrey is now a triple golden monkey. And last, thank you, Richard, for the shout out. And it has been a pleasure to have been in the leadoff position in our lineup for the last 5 weeks. I now drop back to deepen the lineup. And tonight's story is called, heck, how about my favorite quote? That's pretty lame. My favorite quote actually is one of my own. It isn't a famous quote, because I'm not a famous sort of person. My quotes tend to be uninflected juxtapositions, sort of wimbly-wobbly, timey-wimey. They graze across the head, more so than drill down deep. There's the faces remain the same, only the names change. And I'm not leaving, the room's staying. But by far, the one I do believe will get me into the listing of Bartletts is a play on an already well-known quote concerning the nature and the place of humankind in the universal order. Tool, the man-user. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are. Oh, one last thing. I've started up footnotes again. So, Lawrence, link me up.
Hello, everyone. Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. He who has a why to live can bear almost any how. He carried this quote in his wallet. The tiny piece of paper had been folded many times. It was so well hidden that he had completely forgotten about it. He married, had 6 children, and worked hard to raise them. He lost his wife and many good friends. He now had 20 grandchildren and 7 great-grandchildren. At his deathbed, his surviving daughter asked, "How did you manage to do all you did, Dad?" That's when he recalled the quote and replied, "Look around. I had a why." This is my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcock.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. Roosevelt famously said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror." Well, Roosevelt was wrong. Fear is the very least of your worries. It's what lies at the heart of that fear which should concern you. Peer into the darkness. Lift the veil. And there you will find me. It is I that you should fear, and what I do that should provoke horror. And with understanding comes knowledge. Fear does indeed have a name. It is reasoning. And your terror is completely justified. The only thing you have to fear is me.
Tura Brazoino here with a story on the subject of my favorite quote. Who said this? "Love is the question. You are the answer." Gandhi? Mother Teresa? No, yours truly. The inspiring quotes you see online are mostly written by hacks like me. "Life does not have meaning, it is meaning." "Your truest enemy is your truest friend." I sell these to greeting card publishers, self-help writers, and anyone wanting deep wisdom to decorate a website. Here's my second favourite quote. A mine of glistening jewels of insight and enlightenment experience on every page. That's from the blurb for my latest book of quotations. And my favourite, pay to the order of.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 487 with a prompt of a quote. I realized last week that I had the challenge number wrong, and it took me nearly an hour, I'm not that clever, to figure out that it was number 873 that I used the number twice. So I was really afraid that I had missed a week in there somewhere. But no, here is my story for number 847. Nah, not that either. Anyway, in 1997, the TV Guide awarded the 1975 episode of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Chuckles Bites the Dust, the number one slot in their 100 Greatest Episodes of All Time. Chuckles the Clown, the host of children's programming on WJM-TV, performed as several characters, one of whom was Peter Peanut. Dressed as such, when acting as Grand Master of a circus parade, a rogue elephant attacked and tried to shell him. He later died from his injuries. Since that episode in 1975, I've adhered to Chuckles' philosophy of a little song, a little dance, a little seltzer down your pants. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
Many years ago, a deranged candy maker muttered, "So shines a good deed in a weary world," as he prepared to hand over his business to what he thought was a worthy successor. A kid. Okay, so he was an honest kid, but still, he was a kid. A kid who had no idea how to run a business. Suppliers, health inspections, labor disputes, and accounting meant nothing to him. The chocolate factory went bust within a year. Everyone was ruined. The candy maker's arch rival bought out the plant, automated everything, and hired Daryl Hammond to play the chocolatier in the commercials.
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories on the topic of your favorite quote. I didn't mention that in the beginning, did I? I probably should have. It's on the title, it's on the post, it's in the feed, it's on the Twitter, it's in the Facebook, it's all over the place. Where else does it have to be? I mean, do I need to put this on Google Plus? Really? YouTube? Pinterest? Waze? You're driving 3 miles past 100-word stories. I don't know. What I do know is that next week the topic will be mug. Got your stories ready? Good. I will see you then. Until then, thank you for listening and being a part of the weekly challenge and 100-word stories and all that other stuff. Want to tell your friends? Okay. Want to post? Okay. Your call. I know you're busy. I'm busy. Although I'm not busy. Walking on the treadmill right now. Do I stick my foot in my mouth before or after or never? Whatever. And, as always, keep it brief.